This program is made possible by the friends and partners of Unspeakable Joy.
There are some passages in the Bible that, I'll be honest with you, I wish were not in my Bible. There are a few passages like that I have preached from, and tonight is one of those passages I wish was not in my Bible. Brothers and sisters, I told you this morning and I tell you again tonight that we have got to look at everything through a world view. I've made a couple of statements over the course of my time and my ministry here that I hope that you remember. One of those is that statement, look at everything through your Bible. The second thing I want you to remember is that God is a God of order. Everything that God does is through a process and a plan and a regiment. Nothing comes down the pike that God has not put there for a particular reason. Now, here is what I remember, or what I told you this morning, I want you to remember. These pestilence and pandemics, who sends them? God sends them. They are sent by God, allowed by God, processed by God. But you've got to ask the question, why does God send them? Does God just wake up one day and decide, today's the day I think I'm just going to mess their plan up a little bit, and He hits the button of sickness and man, it just flows down through the world? That's not how God operates. God is a God of order. God is a God of procedure. God is a God of plan. God is a God of regimen. So therefore, when God sends something your way and my way, you've got to know it's either the beginning of something, it's the middle of something, or it's the end of something. That is always going to be the case. Put that in your life. When all of a sudden God does something in your life and He upends you, Tyler wants to be a firefighter, Tyler wants to be a police officer, Tyler wants to go out and do his own thing, and Tyler in his bedroom one day, God begins to deal with him. God calls him to preach. That's either the beginning of something, the middle of something, or the end of something. That is the part of a process. When something tragic happens in your life, you need to understand, that's not just God up in heaven with His little control pad and His typewriter, and He's saying, I think today would be a good day to upend everything that they've ever known. No, it is part of a process or a regimen. It's either the beginning of something, the middle of something, or the end of something. Do you see how that operates? Everything we go through is a part of a regiment that God has put in place to bring to pass something for His glory. That is what is going on in this situation. And I'm going to show you a passage of Scripture that I wish was not in the Bible in Leviticus chapter number 26. Verse number 14 tonight. Leviticus chapter 26 and verse number 14. Watch what the Bible says. But if ye will not hearken unto me, and will not do all these commandments, and if ye shall despise my statutes, or your soul abhor my judgments, so that ye will not do all my commandments, but that ye break my covenant. Watch verse 16. I also will do this unto you. I will even appoint over you terror, consumption, and the burning ague that shall consume the eyes and cause sorrow of heart. And ye shall sow your seed in vain, and your enemies shall eat it. I will set my face against you, and ye shall be slain before your enemies. They that hate you shall reign over you, and ye shall flee when none pursueth you. You understand what that is. He said something's going to come over you, and it's going to defeat you. No matter what you throw at it, it's going to beat you, and it's going to absolutely overwhelm your desire to fight. You're going to just want to give up. How many of you have a Scofield Bible in your hands? Hold it up. Let me see it. Let me see how many people I've got. If you have a Scofield Bible, above verse 18, what does it say? The second chastisement. The Bible says in verse number 18, "And if ye will not yet for all this hearken unto me, then I will punish you seven times more for your sins." Make a little note out beside your Bible. When you see those phrases like that in the Bible, seven times more, or if you see a phrase in your Bible that'll say five times or four times or three times more, what he is talking about, he's not talking about exactly doubling or tripling or quadrupling that. What he's saying is that is dealing with the level he's going to jack it up to. So for instance, you and I would say this: they didn't respond to that, I'm going to put the hammer down. You know, we're not literally saying I'm going to nail him in the head with a hammer. What are we saying? I'm going to maximize the pressure. We would put it like this: you got double trouble. Is it literally double the trouble? No. It means it's a maximizing of that. So he says in verse number 18, I'm going to punish you for your sins seven times. He said, if you won't respond to the first chastisement, I'm going to drop the hammer on you in the second. Now notice what he says in verse 19. And I will break the pride of your power, and I will make your heaven as iron and your earth as brass. And your strength shall be spent in vain, and your land shall not yield her increase. Neither shall the trees of the land yield their fruit. Verse number 21. And if ye walk contrary unto me, and will not hearken unto me, I will bring seven times more plagues. Do you see the ratcheting up? Now, I'm not going to read all down through these verses. Verse number 32 is where I want us to go to tonight. Verse number 32 of chapter number 26. Moses said, and I will bring the land into desolation, and your enemies which dwell therein shall be astonished at it. And I will scatter you among the heathen, and I will draw out the sword after you, and your land shall be desolate, and your cities shall be waste. Moses writes to the people of God. They're getting ready to go into the promised land, or they're supposed to go into the promised land. They're going to fail God at Kadesh Barnea, and they're going to spend 38 and a half years of unneeded time in the wilderness. But before all of that happens, God intended for Moses to take them into the promised land. And so he tells the people, he says, I'm going to give to you the book of Leviticus, which is the law of the Levites. That's what the word Leviticus means. It is the law of the Levites. And he said, this is what you need to know. There is a process and a way that I'm going to do everything. There's a process and a way that I want you to offer the sacrifices. There's a process and a way I want the high priest and the priest to operate. There's a process and a way that I want the music to be played. There's a process and a way I want the tabernacle to be set up. There's a process and a way that I want the camps to be aligned. There is a process and a way that I want everything done. He said, now when you get into the land of promise that I'm going to give to you, you don't have to do anything to earn it. I'm going to fight your battles. I'm going to beat your enemies. I'm going to knock down the walls. I'm going to defeat everybody. All you've got to do is have the faith to believe me and draw your sword and shout the victory, and I'm going to knock the walls down for you. But when you get in that land, if you go aside from my word, if you don't walk in my ways, I'm going to also have a process of chastisement whereby I will bring you back to me. He, in your Bible, if you'll notice, if you have a Scofield Bible, if you don't have a Scofield Bible study Bible, it may have something like this. Above verse number 27, what does Brother Scofield have labeled there? The fifth chastisement. God has five chastisement. Five levels of chastisement. There is a tiered system that God's going to put his people through. Because look, God is a God. What is five the number of in your Bible? It's the number of the grace of God. God, it says, I'm a God of grace. And before I absolutely send you into captivity, before I kick you out of the land, before I destroy you, he said, I'm going to bring you and I'm going to lay one chastisement upon you. But if you don't respond to that, I'm going to ratchet it up and I'm going to lay a second chastisement. And if you won't respond to that, I'll go to the third. I'll ratchet that up if you don't respond, fourth. And ultimately, if you don't respond to the fifth, if you won't respond to the grace of God, then I'll send you into captivity. Now, brothers and sisters, I'm going to give to you these five chastisements. Then I'm going to make a spiritual application. And then we're going to go back and look at the first chastisement. Here are the five chastisements. Now, here is the end result. The end result of the chastisements was the deportation and captivity. Dispersion and captivity was the end result that God would eventually take the people to. We would call that the camel's back. When the camel's back is broke, that's where it ends up. When God says, I'm done with you, I'm over, he said, I'm going to send you into captivity, I'm going to give my land rest, and your enemies are going to eat at your table and enjoy your food. He said, that's where I'm going to get you. He said, I don't want to take you there. I don't want you to be there. I don't want you to lose out on my blessing. I don't want you to lose out on my ways. I want you to enjoy the land I give, but you will not spit in my face and enjoy my hand. God says you cannot do that. He says, but I love you so much. While you are spitting in my face, I'm going to be chastising you. Now, here's an interesting point. In the Bible, God never judges the people of God. He always chastises them. Judgment in the Bible is always reserved for those who are unsaved. Because the child of God, you and I, our judgment was taken on Christ on the cross. And we have already been judged. People always ask me all the time, how do you know you won't go through the tribulation? Because the tribulation is where God pours out 21 judgments upon the world. And I don't have to go through judgment because my judgment was already done in Christ. And God's not in the process of double jeopardy. He's already judged Christ for my sins. No need for me to go through judgment again. That's how I know I won't go through it. Now, here are five chastisements, five whippings God's going to give to the people of God if they won't respond to Him before He sends them into captivity. The first one is in verse number 16 and 17. God says, the first thing I'm going to send upon you is sudden panic. The first thing I'm going to send upon you in verse 16 and 17 is sudden panic. God says, I'm going to bring something into your land and it's going to cause you to be scared out of your mind. I'm going to send something your way and it's going to cause you to be absolutely overwhelmed. I'm going to send something in your way that's going to cause you sorrow of heart. I'm going to send something your way that your eyes are going to be consumed by it. I'm going to send something your way and it's going to look to you like I've turned my back against you. And it's going to cause a fear, but it's not just going to be a fear of the mind. It's going to strike at your heart. The first thing God will do to a nation or a people, especially to Israel, is He would send a sudden panic. If they wouldn't respond to that, he would send a ratcheted up, and that would be in verse number 18 down through 20. The second chastisement he would send would be crop failure. Crop failure, he says in verse number 19, he says, I'll break the pride of your power. He says, I'll make the heaven as iron and the earth as brass. You know what that means? It means you'll sow your seed, but the earth won't even split open because the seed will die in the ground. He said, the heavens won't even rain. That's what Elijah prayed for. Remember when Elijah prayed in Ahab, he said, it's not going to rain here for 3.5 years because that was the second aspect of the judgment upon Israel. Do you know when God sent panic to Israel? I'm going to prove it to you in just a second. It was in 2 Samuel chapter number 24 after David fell with Bathsheba and after he labels the census to the people, God sends the pestilence into the land. He sends that sudden plague and the Bible says people were so afraid as the Jebusite, Ornan the Jebusite is out, he's out threshing at his threshing floor when he sees the angel of God standing up. The Bible says he's struck with fear, he falls down on his face and he's scared to death and God has his mercy at the floor, the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. The second failure, the second time that Israel went through this, it's when Elijah would not allow rain to fall upon the earth in the book of Kings, chapter number 17, 1 Kings 17. God says, I'll shut up your heavens. The third stage is in verse number 21 and 22. The third chastisement, there would be a devastation upon our children. There is a devastation upon our children. Now I want you to notice what it says in verse 21. We're going to leave that up there. But listen to what it says in verse number 22 rather. He says, if you won't respond to the fact that heavens won't open up, if you don't respond to that, he said, here's what I'm going to do. In verse number 22, he said, I will send also wild beasts among you, which shall rob you of your children and destroy your cattle. When did that happen in the people of Israel's life and heart? Do you remember after Elijah is called up to heaven and Elisha goes down, crosses the river of Jordan, he goes back over and those children began to laugh at him and they said, go thou up, thou bald head. Go thou up, thou bald head. And Elijah calls the she-bears. That was the third stage in the life of the people of Israel. Now I'm going to make a spiritual application to all this in just a little bit. The fourth tier of this chastisement is in verse 23 through verse 26. It is the sending of pestilence or the plague. Notice what it says in verse number 25. He says, and I will bring a sword against you, and that shall avenge the quarrel of my covenant. When ye are gathered together within your cities, I will send pestilence among you, and ye shall be delivered into the hand of your enemy. When did that happen? Do you remember in the life of the prophet Elisha, after the she-bears come out, he's prophesying, and you remember what happens in Samaria? There's a famine and a plague, and they're selling a piece of dove's dung for a year's wage. That's what they're forced to eat, dove's dung. There's such a plague that arrives in the land of the people of God. And right after that, right after the life of Elisha, do you know what happens? God takes into captivity the 10 northern tribes. If you will not respond when God sends the plague upon the people, the fifth stage is in verse 27 through verse number 31. That's when God gives a people over to barbarism and inhumanity. Notice what it says in verse number 27 down through verse 31. Verse number 29, the Bible says, and ye shall eat the flesh of your sons, and the flesh of your daughters shall you eat. When did Israel do that? When the Babylonians surrounded the city walls. Josephus the historian tells us that they began to cut the throat of their own children and roast them over whatever fire they could do. And when you wouldn't listen, and they wouldn't even respond to that, they finally had these false prophets that would rise up in the days of Jeremiah, and they said, God's going to give us victory. God's going to give us victory. And Jeremiah says, you are fools. Because they did not respond to the five-tiered principle of God's chastisement, and ultimately it goes into captivity. Ladies and gentlemen, let's walk backwards through this right here, if we can. Let's walk backwards through this. Can I tell you something? We have yet to see what it looks like when mankind turns on each other. You do realize we do awful things. We butcher babies in the womb. We do barbarism. We do inhumane things. But we have yet to see what happens when we get to this fifth level of inhumanity. And I'm telling you that our nation is well on the way. We are nigh at the gate. gate of being at this level. Now, the tier before that, when God sends the plague upon the people, I don't know how God deals with all this. I don't know if this is the way God deals with churches and God deals spiritually speaking with a nation. I have no idea. I know we're not the people of Israel, but I do know this. God has an order and a program and a regimen and a way that He works things. And I do know this. You go back to the third thing, the devastation upon our children. Can I ask you a question? What is the wild beast upon the streets that begins to devour our kids? I'll tell you what it is. It's the drug epidemic that is rampant in our nation. The wild beast of heroin, and the wild beast of opiates, the wild beast of methamphetamines, the wild beast of alcohol. It is ravaging our kids. It's destroying our families. It's tearing us apart. And we are helpless to stop it. It's raging. Now you can apply this in families, you can apply in church, you can apply in anything. But then let's go back to the crop failures. Can I ask you a question? You do realize that if supermarkets shut down, the last time I checked, very few of us have a garden we'll put together in the spring. We've become dependent. And what I'm trying to say is it doesn't take much for God to begin the chastisement process. But all of that is here nor there. Remember, I wish there were some passages I wish wasn't in the Bible. I'm going to show you the one that sent a chill down my spine. It's the first chastisement, that sudden panic that God sends. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, sometimes I don't explain the Bible. I'm just going to tell you what it says. I'm just going to define words. And you can put your own thoughts together. And that's what I'm going to do right now. I want you to look in verse number 16. Kim, let's go back to verse number 16 if you can. Verse number 16 of this same passage, the Bible says this, "And I will also do this unto you. I will even appoint unto you terror, consumption, and the burning ague." He said there's going to be a three-tiered thing that I'm going to send to you that's going to bring this sudden panic. And your enemies will defeat you. You won't be able to get any victory. You'll throw everything you've got at it. And I'm telling you, you won't be able to defeat it. So here is the question. What is it about this three-tiered thing? Terror, consumption, burning ague. Terror, consumption, burning ague. Don't sneeze like that too loud, Emily. They'll stone you in this day and time. I told my kids today at the restaurant, I said, "Don't cough, you'll die." Three stages: terror, consumption, burning ague. Terror, consumption. What do these things mean, burning ague? Let me give you some definitions. I'm literally just going to give you definitions. I want to first give you the word for terror. Terror, the definition, the Hebrew word for that word terror, it is literally bahala, and it means an alarm, something that causes panic. Suddenly, it comes out of nowhere, and it causes ruin and alarm. It's as if you didn't see it coming. It just caught you, and it has struck a fear inside of you so deep, you can't get over it. I make no applications. I simply give you definitions. That's the word terror. That's not too bad so far, is it? Well, let's look at the second one. What is consumption? The word consumption, it's the Hebrew word. It's the Hebrew word. Let me make sure I get this right. Shakafeth. And this is what it means. It means a wasting disease of the lungs. Shakafeth, that word shakafeth in the Hebrew, it comes from the Hebrew word shakafeh. A shakafeh in the Bible was an unclean bird. We don't know what it is. We don't know what kind of bird it was. We just know it was an unclean bird. And so watch this. It was a disease of the lungs that made it hard to breathe that was caused by an unclean bird. Let's go to the third one. What is a burning ague? A burning ague is a high fever. God said, when I first try to get the attention of the people of God, I'm going to send something that's going to give you a high fever, it's going to make it difficult to breathe, and it's going to strike fear in the hearts of the people. I make no comments, I just tell you what the Bible says. Does that sound similar to anything? But the question that I have, and I'm not an alarmist, but I am a realist. We are coming down to the end of this thing. Why would God send this, not to the nation of America, across the world? Could it be we started the process to turn people's eyes that Christ is on His way? He said, I'm going to send you something. It's going to scare you to death. It's going to scare everybody to death. It's going to put pneumonia in your lungs. It's going to give you a screaming high fever. Sends a chill down my spine. We better get our spiritual houses in order. We better get out of all this mess that doesn't matter, and we better be diligent about preaching the gospel. We better make sure we don't fuss and fight. Stuff doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. We better preach the gospel. We better tell people Christ is coming. We better be diligent about it. Could it be that God has started the chastisement process upon His people to get our attention because He's on the way? All I know is God does everything He does for a reason. Listen, people of God, if your spiritual house is in order, we have nothing to fear. But it makes old Tyler Curtis start checking up, saying, God, am I in order? Is there anything I don't want You to see when You come for me? I want to make sure I'm ready to go, because He's on the way.